Hear now our scripture passage this morning from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. May God bless this reading and hearing.
Thank you. Well, it's been a busy morning and a busy service, so let's give one another just a moment, the gift of silence together. Amen. So Robert, you mentioned that Malaika House started about 14 years ago, but I will confess that up until a year ago, I had never heard of Malaika House. Maybe many in this congregation had not heard of Malaika House a year ago, or maybe today, this morning, is the first time you're hearing about Malaika House. My understanding is that Reverend Susan McKnight came and joined us in the congregation just about a year ago and spoke on a Sunday morning like this. And out of that, she was so good and inspiring and engaging that this generosity of this congregation raised about $2,400 in support of Malaika House, which is incredible. As importantly, though, she tilled our missional souls. And she planted some seeds in some of us that for a deeper partnership with Malaika House. So this last fall, those seeds began to sprout a little bit, and Jane and our Susan invited Robert and Amy to come to church and join us, and she invited, I believe it was Jim Hyde, our chair of missions, and myself, and we gathered for a nice conversation to learn more about one another and to think about some possibilities for ongoing partnership. It was a good meeting, and I remember feeling very excited. And after Robert and Amy left, we all kind of stayed around, and we're talking about all these ideas and all the things that we could do. And I was just about to go online and buy my plane ticket to Uganda when our Susan wisely said something like, I know we're all excited, but let's all just take a deep breath. Well, that was then, and we did take a deep breath, and we took some time, but the excitement did not diminish. Since that fall meeting, we have continued our conversation and our prayer and our discernment. We have widened the conversation to include our missions team and our church cabinet and our annual meeting and the whole congregation this morning. Since that fall meeting, we have assembled a Malaika House team to help us think more deeply about this partnership with Jane and Jim and Pat and Glenn, and Francis, and Hadley, and Scott, and Sandy. Did I miss anyone? That was about right? Good. All right. Since that fall meeting, the congregation generously decided to give the missions team $7,000 in surplus funds and said, do something amazing with this and do it in accordance with our church's mission statement. So since that fall meeting, a lot of different pieces came into place that made an ongoing partnership with Malaika House possible. And so over the last year, we've spent a lot of time thinking in this congregation about the what's and the hows of the partnership. Is it long-term? Is it short-term? Is it financial only? Or are there some other programmatic or relational pieces to it? And where does God fit into all of it? What's good for us, but also what's good for Malaika House? How can we have a win-win situation? These are huge questions, and they are not fully answered, nor will they ever be. But just because we don't have all of the dots and squiggles figured out of this plan, it doesn't mean that we don't have a plan at all. And in fact, I have what I think is a very good plan for us going forward. So I want to take just a couple of minutes to articulate the plan as I understand it, which may be very different from the rest of the Malaika House team, but there you have it. So I think that there are three parts to our partnership that we have developed. The first part is financial. For us to have a financial commitment with Malaika House over at least the next 3 years and hopefully further after that. The idea is for us to give $3,000 a year to them over the course of 3 years. And part of the reason of that is because it gives us a chance, a longer chance, to develop relationships with them. But also we heard that it helps you to know over the long term from year to year where your budget funds are coming from, so you can sleep well at night and spend more time focusing on your actual mission. So we heard that and we said, okay, let's give $3,000 a year for 3 years, but those mathematicians in the congregation will know that 3 times 3,000 is 9,000, but we have 7,000 that we're given for this project. So we have a couple of $1,000 extra to raise over the next couple of years. And Cabinet and Missions and I, we think that that's quite doable. And so the hope is that there'll be this financial partnership for 3 years, and then we will continue that as according to our means and reevaluate and to make sure that what we want to do and accomplish is actually doing that for us and for Malaika House. Beyond the financial part of the plan is a relational one, that we want to be able to develop relationships with one another in a way that isn't burdensome for us or for them and is actually genuinely helpful. So Hadley talked to us about the Sunday school and their pen pal program, and Amy's been helping us with that. We have a video conference after church to be able to start to meet one another and see one another face to face. We've been talking at Missions about a potential trip over to Uganda in the next year or so to get to know one another more in depth there. And so just some ways that we can get to know one another over the next couple of years, and which will help us to deepen our partnership. Lastly, beyond the financial and the relational, is what I call identity formation. To make our partnership with Malaika House not only something we do, but also something we are. How we see ourselves and how other people see us. We do this in a variety of different ways already around the church. Our relationship with Vermont Refugee Resettlement Program and the Food Shelf and Lund and Jump and Salvation Army and other groups, those are long-term partnerships that other people look at and say, oh yeah, yeah, you're that church that supports that family from Somalia. You're that church that has that partnership with that crazy Malaika House in Uganda, right? So not just something we do, but something we are that we see ourselves as doing, and other people identify us with that. So over the last year, we have moved from inspiration and excitement through finances, prayer, discernment, conversation, administration, and we've arrived here today to celebrate our fledgling partnership that will include finances, relationships, and identity-forming activities over the course of the next 3 years. So yay, it's amazing. So the question that you may have on your minds right now, that we've certainly wrestled with all this past year, is why would we at the Charlotte Congregational Church in Charlotte, Vermont, develop a partnership with an organization that's all the way around the world in general, or Malaika House in particular? Like, why would we do such a thing? It's a good and valid question, and it's a question that comes up all the time in every church that I have ever been part of. We understand the need to support people locally, but why would we have a relationship with someone who's really, really far away? And with all the great organizations out there, why Malaika House, right? So I've got some thoughts about that, which I will share with you just briefly. First of all, let's think about our passage this morning from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Acts was written by the same people that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, we know the story goes that Jesus was born and he ministered and he was arrested and crucified and he died, and 3 years later he was raised from the dead. And after he came back to life, he spent time walking around with his followers and, you know, just spending some extra time with them. And then it was time for him to go. And so our passage tells the events leading right up to Jesus' ascension, the time when he would leave and leave us to be his hands and feet in the world. It's very interesting to me that the final words that Luke puts into Jesus' mouth come after his followers are having this grand theological debate about when God will weave this whole broken world back together again. When will Jesus come and reestablish the kingdom on earth? When is all that big stuff going to happen and the whole world will be perfect once again? To which Jesus responds to them, "Good questions, but don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." Right? It's good to think about the big questions, but also it's good to care for one another and feed one another and do the practical things on a daily basis that care for God's people. So I want you to be my martyrs, in the Greek, my witnesses. Where? I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I want you to be my witnesses right where you are, but also a little further away, the next town, the next state, and then think internationally and then globally as well. It's so fascinating that Luke puts those words in Jesus' mouth as the final words that he speaks to his church. And it's such an important point that the entire book of Acts is structured in these concentric circles, with Jesus in the middle, then Jerusalem, the gospel spreads further and further until we get to chapter 28 and Paul is in Rome witnessing God's love to the whole world. Right? So none of this is a mistake. This is all intentional, and Luke is trying very hard to send this point to us, that we are called to be the concentric church, those who care for people that we know and people we don't know and people we may never meet, that we are to be globally minded as well as being locally minded. And as we do that and balance that out, the local and the global and the regional, as we do all that, we become more and more the church of Jesus Christ that Christ wanted us to be and which this world so desperately needs. Okay. So maybe you can go there with me and say, okay, I get it. We need to have local missions, but we need to have global missions as well. Fine, but why Malaika House? There's lots of wonderful organizations out there. Why this particular one? And for me, the answer is really simple. First of all, they're doing amazing work. And the story that you have to tell is just an incredible one about seeing a need and that need growing in now to housing and care and love and education and employment for 50 kids now. And to be clear, this is a lifetime home. This is not a sort of a halfway place where they're trying to find their real home, but this is the real home. We've created an amazing home for the castaway children of Uganda and Entebbe. So that is worthwhile and very much in line with the mission of Jesus Christ and very much in line with the mission of this church, I think. But more personally, I think that there's really good personal connections between you and Jane, right? You have connections in Vermont. You are a 501c3 based in Vermont. Champlain College right up the road has a group of students that go over every year and spend time. So there's lots of local connections, even though the actual Malaika House is so far away. So putting this all together then, why would we have a relationship in this church with the crazy people of Malaika House? Because I think it helps us to be the concentric church that Christ wants us to be, because they're worthwhile and doing amazing work and need support, and because there's personal connections, and it just fits in nicely with who we are and what we're able to do. Okay, I've said enough. So let's just close in prayer. Living God, we thank you for your word, which helps us to make sense out of and to shape our partnerships. We ask for your blessings upon our partnership together between Malaika House and Charlotte Congregational Church. May that partnership last a long time. May it become not just something we do, but something we are. May it be good for us and good for them. May it help us to satisfy our mission statements and the reason that we do what we do. Help our partnership to become love and resources and relationship. And God, help it to be a whole lot of fun and joy along the way for all of us involved. For we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we gather and partner. May our partnership be smiles on his face and all of ours too. Amen.